I didn't think I could do a Magic Johnson impersonation, but I kind of can.
I'm not going to be there.
I think anybody could do that voice.
I'm not going to be here.
I'm not going to be here. What value do you think Steph would fetch in free agency from another team? That's from the 707. A friend of mine recently argued that he's not worth a max to anyone if he isn't playing with Clay and Dre. Wow. Hold on a second. Let me get my jaw off the floor. Wow. Seriously. The two-time MVP, the only unanimous MVP in the league, you're thinking he only got that because of Dre and Clay? And that he doesn't deserve a max contract anywhere but with Dre and Clay? Come on. 707, call me, please. Let's talk. I'm going to help you. You're broken in some way. You're a broken sports fan. You're a broken Warriors fan. I want to mend you. I want to fix you. Please call. Now's as good a time as any to give Andre Iguodala and, to a lesser extent, Sean Livingston, because I did give Sean Livingston his goodbye last week, not knowing that he still is going to be around a week later. But my guess is Sean Livingston will not be a Warrior next year, and Mark Spears, of the Undefeated, will be talking with him about that. We'll also be talking about the Warriors' draft picks. That's coming up at 1:30. Andre Iguodala, they called him the bench boss. Boss of the bench strength in numbers. That was a huge part of the Warriors' identity. You got to remember what Andre Iguodala was before he came to the Warriors. He was a high draft pick. He was a college superstar at Arizona, and he was an all-star. He was the go-to guy. He was the alpha male for parts of his career with the 76ers. He also got to play alongside some all-time greats. He got to play alongside Allen Iverson. He got to see what makes the truly great ones tick.
We're in here talking about practice.
God, you're on fire today, Spadoni. So he went to the Nuggets, and he was still a star, still in his prime. And his Nuggets team ran up against the Warriors. And he said, whoa, what is that? That's real basketball. And we all know that Iggy is a basketball purist. He looked at the Warriors while he's playing against the Warriors and said, man, I'd like to play with them. And they figured out a way to get it done. The Warriors did, Iggy did, and he came. He was the first person from outside the organization that had cachet in the NBA that came to the Warriors and said, I want to go to Golden State. For the majority of my life, the Warriors were the type of team that people wanted to run and hide from. Hell no, I'm not going to the Warriors. Unless, of course, there isn't another team with any interest in me and the Warriors are dumb enough to pay me. I know people understand what Iggy represents. I don't know if Iggy is ever going to be as appreciated as he should be. I hope he is. I hope everybody out there listening says, Herbs, you're crazy. We all love Iggy as much as you do. I hope that's the case. But he became, when he got to the Warriors, he sublimated his ego. He went from being a starter to Steve Kerr going to him and talking him into accepting a bench role, and he accepted it. He didn't like it at first, and he briefly made that clear. Very briefly, but he didn't make a big stink about it. And then he accepted the role, and then he thrived in the role, and then he transformed the Warriors' bench. He became a sign of unselfishness in what a lot of people who follow sports look at as the most selfish league going. And I think that's fair to an extent. Look, the NBA has the shortest rosters and the highest salaries, and most of those salaries are all 100% guaranteed. And most guys who reach that max level in the NBA, with the exception of some guys who develop during their NBA career, like Draymond's one of those guys. Draymond didn't have his ass kissed when he was 8 years old. He was a pudgy little kid just trying to get some run in the local gym. Most NBA superstars did not have that upbringing. Most NBA superstars, by the time they were 8 or 10 years old, they were on the AAU circuit getting free sneakers and sweatsuits. Ryan, I saw you look up at me like, no, that's not true. Grab the microphone, Ryan. Are you going to dispute me? These days, if kids show that they've got some serious talent, they start getting their ass kissed by AAU coaches at 10 years old. No?
I completely agree.
You do agree?
That's why I looked up. It caught my attention, and I looked up, and I couldn't agree with you more.
The force of the genius is what turned your head.
Absolutely. I was so taken aback by somebody speaking facts that I...
Now, you're a young seven-footer. I'm assuming you were part of the AAU circuit.
To an extent. I wasn't... There's a big AAU circuit in L.A., but in the suburbs where I'm from, there's not a large AAU following.
Really?
Yeah. So I was not involved in the AAU circuit at all.
Well, kudos to you and your parents for not chasing that, because a lot of kids who've shown some talent, their parents chase that.
Well, And back then, I was a big project. I wasn't highly recruited. I didn't play much my freshman, sophomore year in high school.
What was your big growth spurt? Because I'm only 6'5" now, but I grew from 5'2" to 6'1" between 7th and 8th grade.
I actually just grew kind of incrementally. Like 2 inches
every year?
Every year.
And you're legit 7 foot?
Yeah.
When did you stop growing? How old?
Probably when I got to college. So like 18, 19.
Okay. So how you blossomed once you got to college?
Yes, definitely. Okay. I my first 2 years in high school, I sat the bench. I was not very athletic. And then I transferred schools and finally got a chance, kind of grew into my body a little bit.
Right.
Got better, but still very under-recruited. A couple NAIAs.
Right.
And I ended up ending up here at D2 San Francisco State. And that's when I really blossomed. I took a redshirt year and I kind of grew into it.
Right. So. And when did you finish playing there?
I just finished this year. I graduated in May.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
All right. That's Ryan Williams, he's not new. I guess he's been interning for 2 years on the morning show. We've been working at the same place for 2 years, and this is like the fifth time I've seen the guy in person. And that's a shame because I really like him. Hopefully we get to work together more often now that you're around a little bit more. 415, watching social media, most people were more torn up about Iggy than KD. I agree with that. Okay, back to my appreciation for Andre Iguodala. Andre Iguodala is a purist. Andre Iguodala is everything that we want our professional athletes to be. He is unselfish. He is kind. He's a little bit weird, and I like that. And he's a winner. Andre Iguodala came here, recognized what the Warriors were building, and gave it legitimacy. That's what we owe gratitude to Andre Iguodala for. He identified it almost before we identified it. And then he came and he made it so crystal clear that we could identify it. That's Andre Iguodala's legacy. And yes, his jersey should be retired. Kevin DeGrant? No, I'm not mad at him. I'm thankful for KD's 3 years here. But I ain't retiring his jersey on 95.7 The Game.
Now back to 95.7 The Game.
Dropkick Murphy? You know, Billy Beane made me a mixtape. It's a mixed CD now. You know, it wasn't in 1985 that he did this. But he basically made me he burned me a CD of all the Dropkick Murphy that he loves. Billy's big into punk music, the Ramones, Dropkick Murphys. I thought that was how many general managers are going to go out of their way to burn a CD of music for one of the team's beat writers? The Bay Area is just different, man. It's just different. By the way, Chef Miles in Napa, who texted us on the Chilton Autobody text line, 95795. I got your back, Chef Miles in Napa. Even though I disagree with you about the hoagie sandwich and cutting it up and all that, I was talking about it during the break. We were having a good old time, me and Ryan and Joe, and we're talking with Rick Tittle. It's like we all gather around. When Rick's holding court, you all gather around. I tried to build a little campfire even just to kind of add to it, but I brought up Chef Miles in Napa, and he just turned to me dismissively and says, you know, it's Chef Miles in Napa. He's a janitor at a Denny's somewhere. And I said, no. Don't come at my Chef Miles with Napa in Napa. Chef Miles in Napa is probably working at, what is that place up in Yountville? A super expensive place? I don't know. Somebody on the text line will give it to me. Oh, the French Laundry. French Laundry, is that where Chef Miles works? Chef Miles works? He's not a janitor at Denny's. I got your back, Chef. 415. Oh, I also told Rick, by the way, I had planned on doing KD for an hour and then moving on for the next three. Well, you go with what the audience sinks their teeth into. And they've sunk their teeth into KD. They're not done yet. It hasn't even been a week. And I get it. Some people are saying, oh, why don't you talk about the baseball? Giants are on fire. Okay, here you go. Giants have won four in a row, and the Giants are scoring a lot of runs now. And this is the absolute worst time for them to be doing this. Why didn't you do this early in the year? No. We had to get off really, really bad. And now we're going to tease you as the trade deadline gets closer and closer and closer. Farhan Zaidi must just be going, oh, my God, why are they playing well now? Oh, my God. Can you just keep sucking for me so that when I trade Mad Bum and when I trade Will Smith, people don't get mad at me? Because if I trade Mad Bum and I trade Will Smith and we're 3.5 out of the wild card, fans are going to come down my road. I'm going to try to help you out right here, Farhan. The Giants are 5.5 back of a wild card spot right now, and they're on fire. There's no doubt about it. They're only five and a half back of the wild card spot. That's what? A game and a half a month for the rest of the year. You pick up and you're right there. No, because guess how many teams in the National League are closer to the wild card spot than the Giants? Every single one except the Marlins, who will not sniff a wild card until Derek Jeter has great-great-grandchildren playing in the league. That is such a nightmare organization, and Jeter's made it worse somehow. I thought everything that guy touched turns to gold. Back to the Giants. Yeah, they're 5.5 back, and they're enjoyable to watch now. I actually stopped and watched their game yesterday. I haven't done a whole lot of that. In fact, I was embarrassed last weekend when we brought on Ahmed Fried, and I said, thank God I said this before we got on the air with him on. I said, well, he does Giants pre and post. No, he hasn't been doing that for a while. He works in Sanford, Connecticut now. Well, that's how little I watch of Giants pre and post, or how little I had been at the start of the year. They were awful. No fun to watch. Look, I'm a baseball guy, man. I'm the guy who says, don't you dare put a clock on it. I will enjoy a 2-hour and 10-minute game. I will enjoy a 4-hour and 10-minute game. Part of the appeal of baseball is I don't know how long it's going to last. Just want to see a good game. We got somebody who wants to compare KD to Mays? Which Mays? This has me intrigued. Very, very intrigued. Did I cover the bases with the Giants? Was that enough Giants talk for you guys? Was that good? He's still going to trade Will Smith. He's still going to trade Mad Bum.
Right, right.
He's a horse. I am glad that they're playing better baseball in Bruce Bochy's last year. I do not want to see him go out with a stink bomb of a team that's at the bottom of the National League West standings. Hey, if being 5.5 back of the wild card gets you excited about Giants baseball, that's great. Get excited about Giants baseball. But don't get mad when he trades Bumgarner and Smith. That's still going to happen. Now, if they had played this well at the start of the season, maybe not. Maybe you kind of retool and rebuild, but we all knew the Giants were going to have to dramatically tear it down and build it back up. They are years away from being where they want to be at the big league level, at the AAA level, and at the AA level. Those are the three most important levels in a franchise. Duh. And they're not close to where they want to be. Let's go back to the phone lines. If you want to join the conversation, 888-957-9570. If you want to hit us on the Chilton Autobody text line, 95795. The overwhelming favorite topic of the day is Kevin Durant, or Kevin DeGrant, if you are Jalen Rose.
His name is Kevin DeGrant.
Yeah, it's actually not, but I like that you say that because the great audience I have is referring to him as KDG or just straight up Kevin DeGrant. I love that. 510 on the Chilton Autobody text line. Herbs. Oh, I should give this context. We've been talking among the topics where should he have Kevin Durant, that is, Kevin DeGrant, should KDG have his jersey retired? Lacob talked about it, said, as long as I'm at Golden State or as long as I'm with the Warriors, nobody's going to wear 35. I didn't hear him say it. If that's what he said, he didn't say I'm retiring the jersey. He says, as long as I'm with the Warriors, no one's going to wear 35. I'm retiring Steph, Clay, Dre, and Iggy. I'm not retiring Kevin Durant's jersey. I'm sorry. He played for 3 years. 3 years is nothing. 3 years is a blink of an eye. Look, Kevin Durant's career is far from over. And already, you'll say this about the Warriors' career. It was one-fourth of his career so far has been spent with the Warriors. And he's going to have many more years. I still chuckle when I think back to that text. KD's going to flip out when Kyrie goes Kyrie. Okay, so I gave that context. Here's a text. Herbs. Joe Lacob tiptoed around jersey retirement by saying he would avoid the numbers reused during his tenure. Retired numbers go on the rafters forever. Different, no? Yeah, that's exactly what I was saying. He didn't say I'm retiring the jersey. He said, no one will wear 35 as long as I'm here. That is different from retirement. And besides, you don't retire somebody's jersey until they retire from the game, right? I would say KD's got another 6, 7, 8 years in him, right? And at that point, he will have been in the league for, let's see, 12? If he plays, 6 more years. He'll have been in the league for 18 and been a Warrior for 3 of them. You're going to retire his jersey? Stop it. He didn't start this. He helped extend it and make it better, and for that, we're all very thankful. Let's go to Mark in San Lorenzo. He's the one who wants to make the comparison that I very much want to hear. What's up, Mark? Happy 4th to you.
You got me like a thoroughbred racehorse in the gates, waiting to go because you're milking it. You brought it up, and I'm hearing, I'm listening to you, Mike. I'm with you, man. I'm with you. I love the Giants. Born and raised in San Francisco. Just upon your point about why they should start winning now, because you need to fill the seats. You look at you watch the Giants on TV. I see more empty seats than I do filled. And so they need to get people back in that stadium to watch games. And who's going to come? Just like you said, and I'm right on board with you. I'm not watching the Giants this year either because it's difficult to watch them be so inept, right? They can't score runs. And now they're putting an average of 10 runs a game. I'm loving it, baby. And I hope, and I say pour it on. But if you need to get rid of Mad Bum and Will Smith, in order to get some young players to keep this role going, then so be it. They got to do what they got. Whatever moves he's making right now are good moves because you got bats in the lineup. You got young outfielders that are actually doing something. And so I appreciate that with what's happening with their organization.
And right now. Mark, what I appreciate about the Giants right now is that, look, when I covered the A's as a beat writer, they were kind of the land of opportunity for young major leaguers. If you got to the Oakland organization, you were going to get a chance to play. You were going to get a chance to get promoted. You were going to get a look. The A's are still kind of like that, but they've identified cornerstone guys like, you know, Matt Chapman, of course, Matt Olson, they're there. Now the Giants have become somewhat of a land of opportunity. I mean, my God, there were 4 different corner outfielders in last night's game. If you're a young player and you've got something that you think can make it at the big league level and you're in the Giants organization, you know that Farhan's going to give you a look. And I like that. I like watching young, hungry players.
Michael, I was born and raised in San Francisco. I live in the East Bay now. I never liked the Oakland organization, but I admire the Oakland organization for exactly the reasons that you're talking about. They bring young players, hungry players, into the organization. They get rid of guys instead of paying them the big money. They send them off and they get exchanged with AAA top notch players. And I admire that because they continue to win. Last year they were in the playoffs, and I believe they'll be in the playoffs again this year. And I love everything they do as an organization. But my heart and soul will always be with the Giants, no matter what. Now, upon the other thing, Michael. The French Laundry, located downtown Healdsburg.
Healdsburg, that's right. I said Yountville.
Tacos and hot dogs, Michael. I will take enchiladas with rice and frijoles any day over tacos and hot dogs, and that's what my wife's making today. But on the Willie Mays and Kevin Durant.
Finally, you're burying the lead, my friend. Get to the KD Mays comparison.
Well, this morning, just by coincidence, I got up on my day off at 6 in the morning. I'm on the throne. And on YouTube, I look at what's happening.
Thank you for the visual.
I watched the Willie Mays bio, and Willie Mays, one of the greatest ball players of ever, was kind of introverted. He left New York where he was adulated. He was a king, and he came to San Francisco, and he was sad. Orlando Cepeda was more loved in San Francisco than Willie Mays was. So for a few years, he went into a funk, and he kind of was introverted until he came out of that shell. But Willie Mays, in many ways, Kevin Durant, talented, maybe the one of the best ball players that ever plays basketball. But they just have this aura about them that, you know, they're not going to be the most articulate and most outgoing. My wife and I are talking about Draymond Green. Draymond Green is the face of the Warriors. That man will do anything for anybody, any teammate, and his coach. Kevin Durant's not that way. And so that's the difference. Doesn't take away his talent, you know, but again, just like Willie Mays, tremendous ball player, but never the most popular guy in the room, even though he's an icon. And I don't take that away from either one of them.
All right. Thank you, Mark. That's a great call. You touched on a lot of different things. And yeah, Mays, still to this day, he's a little bit of a prickly personality. Oh, I wanted to go to that caller. My goodness. By the way, I need somebody to tell me for sure, because I said I thought the French Laundry was in Yountville, and then somebody said, no, it's in Healdsburg, and so I corrected myself. And then immediately I get a text saying, Healdsburg? LOL. And then the next one says, the French Laundry is located in Yountville. They meant to say bra, but it was bra with a J, not an H. So thank you. I'm going to assume that French Laundry is in Yountville. It doesn't really matter. But it is in Yountville. That's also where they have a veterans hospital right next to a baseball field where they have an American Legion tournament every year. When I was a sports editor of the Mighty Pacifica Tribune just over the hill, their team, their Joe DiMaggio team, yeah, it was DiMaggio, not Legion, they went to Yountville and they would play. And the coolest thing is it's the only youth baseball tournament I've ever been at where they sell beer. And they sold beers because they had all the veterans lined up down one foul line, down the other foul line, and the veterans would place bets with each other. So they're betting on young kids playing baseball while drinking beer. How American is that? From beers to Spears we go. Mark Spears is a senior NBA writer with The Undefeated. He can answer all the Dubs questions that we have. And what are you doing, Mark, that you're not doing something better than this on 4th of July? Happy 4th to you, by the way.
Yeah, man, same to you. Just got to Vegas for NBA Summer League, which starts tomorrow. So it's
all right.
Going to be really interesting because Zion Williamson will make his debut tomorrow night. So that might be one of the most watched Summer League games of all time. And believe it or not, as big as UNLV's arena is, that game is already sold out.
Wow, and he's going up against his buddy, right, R.J. Barrett?
Yeah, going up against R.J. Barrett. One disappointing note, Michael Porter Jr., who 2 years ago was a number one player in the high school player in the country, who, in my opinion, if healthy, was actually probably better than Zion. He had two back surgeries, was finally cleared to play. He was playing after Zion, and he injured his knee last night.
So
he's going to miss Summer League.
Yeah, I remember when he was – who's he drafted by? I know that when he was drafted, it was looked
Denver.
As – okay, it was looked at a little bit of – now, he slipped a little bit in the draft because of the injuries, but I remember somebody – I think it might have been Legler saying, if this guy ends up being healthy, he's going to be the steal of the draft.
Yeah, no, he's special. He's 6'11", can do everything. I kind of call him a mixture of Durant and Garnett, as great as that sounds. I got to see him when he was healthy, and he's one of the most special high school players I've ever seen. So they could just get him back there. And then I texted with him a little bit today. He's certainly bummed that he's not able to play. I mean, he was really excited about tomorrow night.
How serious? Any idea how serious the injury is?
Not serious, but serious enough where it's like a left knee strain. This is summer league, man. It ain't worth it. Like, I just bumped into former Warrior Winston Garland, bumped into him, and his son has a minor injury. He was the fifth pick in the draft by Cleveland, Darius Garland. And I don't think he's going to play either. So, you know, teams are, while they would like to get him out there, the fall is more important than the summer.
And Darius was banged up in college as well, right?
Yeah. Well, he had that knee surgery. So, you know, once Cleveland got him, kind of really looked at him, it's just not worth it for them. They'd much rather have them ready in October. So I know that these guys are disappointed, especially young guys. And Summer League's cool, man. Out here in Vegas, big crowds, and, you know, but it's not worth it. It's not worth it for either guy.
We're talking with Mark Spears. He's a senior NBA writer for The Undefeated. You can follow him on Twitter, and you should. It's a great follow. Mark J. Spears, ESPN. Mark, I want to get into a couple of things that I know you will know some details that I do not know. Sean Livingston, what is his status? He's still on the roster, but we don't expect him to be with the team next year, correct?
Yeah, Sean's open to playing. I just think it has to be probably like a Pacific Division team if he had his choice.
Yep.
So who knows? Maybe the Warriors can get a trade. Let's keep an eye on the Clippers. Let's keep an eye on the Lakers. You know, what Kawhi does could affect their interest in Sean Livingston. If I'm Sacramento, if I'm Phoenix, I'm trying to figure out a way to get a veteran like that in my locker room. Phenomenal guy, one of the best people I've ever met in this league. Certainly going to be missed, not only having Durant, but Iguodala and him in that locker room. But just, while I think he certainly is open-minded to retirement, if he can get a West Coast situation where, you know, they're only expecting him to play like 15 to 20 minutes a game, be a big brother, I think he'd still be open-minded to playing.
And if he doesn't get that perfect opportunity, he'll likely end up with a job in the Warriors front office, correct?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's going to be there either way. With all due respect to the Warriors front office, which I think is very talented, they can use some diversity there too. So that would be great. So hopefully he gets another year, man. I mean, that's $7 million. It ain't turning down $50
million. Right.
But that's $7 million, and in my world, that's a lot of money. I wouldn't walk away from
that. Yeah, and I'm with you, Mark. You know, my daughter, who is 16 now, when she was, I think, 14 or 13, this is early in the Warriors' run, she just turned to me like out of nowhere and said, "Sean Livingston's my favorite player." And like, how many people pick a role bench player as their favorite player? And she didn't even know his backstory at that point. And so I told her the backstory. I told her about the injury. I said, "I've seen it once. I never want to see it again." She's like, "Let me see it." I'm like, "No, I don't want you to see it." And she wore me down, dude. And so I let her see it. And when it was over, she started walking away and looked at me over her shoulder. And she says, "I can't believe you let your daughter watch that."
You tried, man.
I tried to warn her. I'm telling you. Hey,
saw it one time and not again. I'm good.
Since we're talking about the front office and you're at Summer League, we had a caller earlier ask me questions about the three draftees. And I said, you know what? I'm going to throw that to Mark Spears. I'm going to defer. I know a little bit about Smiley-Gitch, to be honest. I know about Poole only because.
Let's stop there.
What's that?
Let me stop you right there.
Okay.
All right. About early 2000s, Nuggets drafted a guy named Nicholas Skinner-Smiley, right?
Uh-huh.
Actually, I think might be living in San Francisco. 7'1", small forward, very talented. I saw him in Summer League and fell in love with him. Told Avery Johnson about him. Avery Johnson said, "Mark, that's Summer League." Now here's my problem. I've fallen in love with this kid.
With Smiley-Gitch?
I like his size. Yeah. I like his size. I don't know how to say his name. Smiley-Gitch.
Smiley-Gitch.
He's got size. He's got skill. He has great footwork. He can jump. He is begging them to throw him alley-oops. He's a great, great talent. And he's young. He's going to get stronger. I heard he's got confidence, swag. There's a lot to like about him. I think he's going to make the roster. I think he should be on the roster.
And, you know, one of the things that I really like about him is he's the youngest guy in G League history. And while it's not the Euro League with Luka Doncic, I like the idea of a kid playing with men and showing that he can hold his own.
Yeah, so, I mean, kudos to the Warriors for, I guess, getting wind that the Kings might take this guy and locking him in. And they're locking him in at a low number. I think this, like when I talked to some of the scouts who are in Sacramento watching, they thought that he was one of the better players that he saw. Now, the sample size is small. It was just two games and just four teams. But he definitely, definitely stood out. And I just liked his energy, his athleticism. I don't know if it's, he's a great shooter at all, but he tried to shoot a three. He's got skills, too. It just, based on what I saw, he certainly had the talent to be a first-round pick. But yeah. I still have Avery Johnson talking in my head.
No, I get that. I hear where Avery's coming from. But, I mean, if I'm going to trust anybody's early opinion on a basketball player, I think I could do a lot worse than Mark Spears, because you've seen and forgotten a lot more basketball than a lot of us have seen or ever learned. So, yeah, I mean, don't sell yourself short, Judge.
No, I'm going to go on a limb and say this kid will be a fan favorite next season.
Nice. I like it. I like it very much. Now, talk to me about the Bob Myers has done, in my opinion, I didn't think – he could do this. I mean, because I'm actually looking forward to the Warriors season. I'm always going to look forward to a Warriors season because I'm a Warriors fan. And even without KD, I'm thankful that KD was here. I'm thankful I got to watch him every night for 3 years and tape the games and watch him over and over. But he's gone. I thought next year was going to be a little bit of a downer in the Chase Center. You're in a new building and you're missing two of the guys that helped you get all these championships, and it's going to kind of suck a little bit, but I don't think it's going to. Or am I crazy? D'Angelo Russell, Willie Cauley-Stein, Big Dog, the three draft picks. Smiley Gitch is going to be an all-star as a rookie, you're telling me? I know, I'm just kidding. But
he might get in that, rookie sophomore game or whatever they call it today.
Yeah, that's an all-star thing, rookie sophomore game, sure. Now, so Mark, am I crazy for thinking the Warriors are not a low seed playoff team, but maybe a middle of the pack playoff team next year?
No, I don't think so. One, let's see what the prognosis is for Clay and when he can potentially come back. But if you're gonna lose, how many teams have lost their star player or a superstar player and got nothing back? I mean, Bob Myers in their front office should certainly pat themselves on the back to be able to get D'Angelo Russell under the circumstances.
Yeah.
I mean, Russell was an all-star, man. Let's forget about the Lakers stuff. Certainly that's in his past and that's in his resume.
Was he just growing up? Was he just a knucklehead kid back then?
I think there's probably still a little bit of maturing to do, but he's gotten a lot more stronger in that regard. You're talking about an elite shooter with two Splash Brothers. That's scary.
Yeah.
So if they can get healthy, and Willie Cauley-Stein was an absolute steal. Like,
yeah, how did they do that? How'd they get that guy for that?
You get tired of losing. Where, like, you and to him, maybe he feels like, all right, I go to the Warriors, play for them, do amazing, and then I'll get a big deal the next year.
Right.
You know what I mean? He is exactly what the Warriors need. Basically an athlete, a deer, somebody they can throw alley-oops to, somebody you don't have to give the ball to in the offense, rebounds well. I think he is what they wanted Damon Jones to be, what Andrew Bogut was.
A little bit of what JaVale was.
Yeah, JaVale, he's better than JaVale.
Yeah, he's a much better version of JaVale.
He can hit the mid-range jumper, and he's a guy where, you look at him walking down the street, looks are certainly deceiving with him. He looks like maybe a tough guy. He got tattoos on his face and looks a little crazy and everything,
right?
But he's actually really bright. Loves art. Very eccentric dude.
Well, he'll fit right in the Bay Area.
Yeah, they'll love him here. So I'm very excited to see him in a Warriors uniform. They got him for a steal. They also got. I'm stunned that they were able to sign Looney at that amount.
Yeah, me too. I have much love for Looney for doing that. I mean, that's just. That's smart to me. I mean, I don't see any – that's why it baffles me why KD left. I've come to grips with it. I'm fine with it. Fine.
But you know what, though? I beg to differ. I think he needed to get paid, man.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, he came in a late first-round pick. I thought he could have got double the money. I was stunned to see him get 315. I thought he should have got 330.
But maybe money's not important. Maybe 15 mil is enough for him.
Like, if I'm Sacramento, I certainly would have paid him that over paying Deadman that.
Yeah, I'm with you there. But how about this? How about he found something that he really loves, and 15 million is more money than he ever thought he would make. So 30 doesn't mean anything to him.
I need to hear him say that.
Okay, I'm saying it for him. He told me to tell you.
If that's the case, so be it. But I think he could have doubled the money.
Okay,
and whoever negotiated that for the Warriors, needs a raise.
Yeah, no doubt about that. Okay, one last thing. I know you got to bounce. I want to read a text to you, and I think it's dead on. KD is going to freak out when Kyrie goes Kyrie, and he's going to regret leaving the Warriors. Those are two pretty eccentric, weird, sensitive-type guys. So I didn't realize they were such good friends. That's why they're teaming together in Brooklyn?
Yeah, no, and DeAndre Jordan's really close with Durant. I did a tattoo thing with both of them.
Yeah.
And so they're even closer. I mean, it's going to be Kyrie's team next year. Things didn't go well in Cleveland. In the end, things didn't go well in Boston, and let's see if he could change that reputation. But there is a reputation there, and Durant won't be there to change the narrative for him because he won't be playing. So it'll be very interesting to see when time runs out if that was worth losing $50 million over.
Yeah, I have a feeling they might be a hot mess because if it's Kyrie's team next year, is KD going to come in? I'm supposedly his camp is saying, this is what I can't stand about this part of the silly season. His camp is saying that the fans would never accept him the way they accept Steph Curry. Well, duh. I mean, it was always going to be Steph's team. Steph was drafted by that team, and Clay and Dre are always going to have higher status than KD. I don't understand why that confused anybody.
Yeah. But I think it's time for the Warriors fans to
move on,
appreciate what he did, because what he did was amazing. He deserves to have his jersey retired and be happy that through all that you still got D'Angelo Russell and put your energy in that direction.
Yeah, and Willie Cauley-Stein, like you said, well, it's a hell of a steal. I will disagree with you on the jersey retirement, but we'll talk about that another day. Enjoy yourself at Summer League. You get to see Zion versus RJ. I'm jealous. Hopefully we'll talk to you sometime soon so you can tell us about your ongoing love affair with Smiligich.
There you go, and I'll know how to say it correctly next time.
All right, Mark, take it easy. That's Mark Spears of The Undefeated. He is a great follow on Twitter. Follow him at Mark J. Spears, ESPN. I love hearing that from Mark. Look, I respect Mark's evaluation of anybody who plays basketball. I don't care how old they are, what league they're in. If Mark Spears tells me, I like this guy, he can play, I think he can be something, I'm going to believe him. And he just said that about Smiligich. I didn't know about the Warriors heard the Kings might be picking him, and that's why they scrambled to make sure they got to keep him. That would be a shame if you like a guy and he's on your G League roster and you end up not getting him. I'm confused by all that, by the way. I didn't know there was a G League draft. I didn't know that you could be playing for the Santa Cruz Warriors and you're not Warriors property in some way. Like, the G League's kind of a minor league, but not really. I don't know. Confuses me because the Kings could have picked Smiligich, and he was a Santa Cruz Warrior. So, okay, whatever. All I know is I'm glad they got him. I'm glad that Looney signed an undermarket deal. Wow, Mark Spears thinks that Looney could have gotten $30 million. 3 years and $30 million. I wouldn't be surprised by that. I think he's worth that. Look, the top stars in the league are making $40 to $50 million a year. You can tell me Looney's not worth 10 for what he provides off the bench? And the beauty of the Willie Cauley-Stein signing is that it allows Kevon Looney to stay on the bench. He is outstanding in that role, and Kerr wants to keep him in that role. And that he willingly accepted an under-market value tells me that money doesn't float Kevon Looney's boat. What Kevon Looney appreciates is the culture of brotherhood that they have with the Golden State Warriors. He loves that they allowed him to grow. They stuck by him. They showed him a little bit of loyalty. Yeah, he had to earn it. I mean, they didn't give Kevon Looney anything. He earned everything. And then he gets to the point where he could go out and get $30 million over 3 years. He says, no, I like it here. I'll take half that. Think about that. He may have left $15 million over the next 3 years on the table. How can you not respect Kevon Looney? Some people might think he's an idiot for passing on $15 million. I don't know. Mark Spears thinks he should have gotten paid. Some people think that. Just go get paid. Some people, well, here it is. 707, maybe Looney fell in love with a local girl who's unwilling to leave. Well, if that's the case, thank you, local girl. She's unwilling to leave the Bay Area, so Looney wouldn't sign anywhere else. Man up, Kevon. Tell her she's coming with, for crying out loud. Buy her an 8-carat ring. She'll see religion. 925. Surprised to say this, but that Cauley Stein signing puts the Warriors in the top 6 seeds. I agree with that. I don't think it's just the Cauley Stein signing. I think D'Angelo Russell is going to have quite a say in that. And who knows, maybe Smiley-Gitch, maybe Poole, maybe Pascal, the 3 draftees, maybe they're going to pitch in. I said last Sunday, after KD had made his decision, the Warriors are still going to make the playoffs. They're going to be a 7 or 8 seed, but you cannot tell me, seriously, is any Warrior fan going to look me in the eye and say a team led by Steph Curry that also has Draymond Green on it, that team's not going to make the first 8 seeds of a playoff? Come on. Of course Green and Curry are going to get the Warriors to the playoffs. But I thought they were going to be a 7 or 8 seed. Now you've got D'Angelo Russell, you've got Willie Cauley-Stein, you've got Kevon Looney back, you've got 3 draftees that you feel pretty good about, that a couple of them might be able to play right away. Yeah, top 6. I'm with that. 510. What happens to the culture without any of the 3 wise men? Who are the 3 wise men? Iguodala, Sean Livingston, and who's the other one? Please don't tell me you're calling Kevin Durant the wise man. I'm not going to go wise man with Kevin Durant. Great player. And again, let me say this one last time for the people that opened the show by saying, stop hating on KD. Stop hating. When did hating even become a word? Aren't we done with that yet? I thought that was going to cycle its way out. Hater. Rick Tittle loves hater. Rick Tittle's coming up next, by the way, in about 4.5 minutes. I'm not hating on Kevin Durant. Here is my final say on Kevin Durant. Thank you, thank you, thank you. 3 thank yous for 3 years. For 3 trips to the finals. For untold hours of entertainment watching the best basketball player I have ever seen at the time. Now, LeBron, when he was at his peak, I thought he was better. LeBron will go down in history, in my mind, as a greater player than Kevin Durant. But right now, Kevin Durant is better. I got to watch Kevin Durant ascend to the top of the NBA individual mountain. And like I said, I taped every game. I watched him all the time. Ooh, David West is the 3rd wise man. Good call. Thank you, Kevin. Thank you, Kevin. Thank you, Kevin. I hope you find what you're looking for. As an aside, I don't think he's going to. I think he is a perennial seeker. I mean, if he was chafing, as his camp suggests, at this being Steph's team, like Mark Spears just pointed out, KD's not playing next year. Guess who's going to be the man in Brooklyn? It's not going to be DeAndre Jordan, and it's not going to be Kevin Garnett. It's going to be who? Kyrie Irving. Kyrie Irving is going to be the man in Brooklyn. And if they have a good year, he'll be even more the man. He'll be even more entrenched as the guy. And then KD gets healthy. He gets worked back in the next year. Once he gets back to the place he thinks he should be at, wait, how come they love Kyrie more than they love me? That's going to happen to him in Brooklyn too. But maybe because he's close buddies with Kyrie and DeAndre Jordan, that it won't mean as much. I just wish his camp would shut up, because it's starting to make me mad at KD, and I don't want to be mad at KD. Like I said, I'm grateful for KD. But his camp is pissing me off with all these weak little leaks about, oh, he didn't like this, or he didn't like that, or he, like Stephen A. is part of it, too. Just feeding the fire. He wasn't with Steve Kerr at all. And then KD, the best part of that was KD is watching it, and he texted Stephen A. live on the air. Stephen A. saw it and read it live on the air. If that's not a sign that KD's got rabbit ears, tuck your ears in, rabbit. That's my only advice to KD. Like, who am I to give Kevin Durant any advice? But I will give him this one piece of advice. Tuck your ears in, rabbit. That's a baseball phrase, rabbit. When somebody looks into the dugout, when someone in the opposing dugouts, you know, look, part of baseball is just ragging guys on the field. That's the only reason I probably played D1, because I was really good at ragging. I wasn't so good at baseball. I could rag you, though. But a rabbit ears was a guy who would hear it looking directly into the dugout, and everybody in the dugout would put their hands up near their heads and then throw their hands down and yell up, ears down, rabbit! That's Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant is a rabbit. He needs to tie his ears up, take them off, forget about what anyone is saying about you, focus on your rehab, and I hope Kevin Durant comes back, or is it Kevin DeGrant? Let's check with Jalen Rose one last time.
His name is Kevin DeGrant.
Thank you. KDG, I hope you get back to the top of the mountain. I really do. I believe you are the best player on the planet, and I think people that are saying Kawhi is, they're only saying that because you're not playing, and if you're not playing, I guess you can't be the best player. It's not going to be fourth of Kawhi, by the way. Kawhi, somebody says, somebody close to Kawhi. How many people are close to these people? Every single unnamed source. Someone close to the situation. Somebody close to Kawhi says he's not going to make his call. KD, God bless. Thank you. I hope you get healthy. I hope you get back to the mountaintop. And I hope the Warriors face the Brooklyn Nets in the finals 2 years from now and get in your ass and laugh at you as they accept their fourth Larry. I'm Mike Lurban. Rick Tittle is up. 95.7 The Game.